Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Attendance Sunday is which Sunday? It would be actually Resurrection Sunday, believe it or not. But the second one is Christmas and then Mother's Day. In the Hispanic culture, believe it or not, more than Resurrection, Mother's Day is the number one attendance Sunday. And if you're in any way connected to the Hispanic culture, you'd be like, what is that? Well, because of the problem of fatherlessness. Because mother has been brought to a place where she doesn't even belong. Almost to equate God. Yeah. Because mom is everything. And dad, if mom drags him up, he'll come up, but not. And we've made this image. And because of their absence, we have degraded them. And in a Hispanic culture, that's extremely common. Even when fathers are present, mom is mom and dad is dad. But mom is mom. But it's a problem all over the world. I think we should have mom and dad on the same plane. Yeah. I was praying this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and checking myself about this particular issue. And I have to tell you with all honesty, I couldn't find a way to place my mom over my dad or my dad over my mom. Honestly, I couldn't. I really admire them both. I had them both. And they were both very present. And I am so blessed because of that. But I'm probably in the minority of people. And we need to rise to the occasion as fathers. Now, I want you to think about a certain king from the Bible, King Hezekiah. He was king number 13 of the people of Judah. You know that the kingdom got divided after Solomon. His sons decided to divide the kingdom. One ruled Israel and the other one ruled Judah. What they did is one ruled a couple of tribes and the other one ruled the rest. So the kingdom got divided into north and south, however you want to divide it. But the king got divided and got two kings instead of one. That's not the way God appointed it, but that's what the way they did. And guess what happened to the people of God? Everything started going way downhill. And one of those kings that came to power, his name was Ahaz. And Ahaz was a really bad king. He messed up the kingdom of Judah so bad. And the kingdom of Judah included Jerusalem, the capital, pretty much, you know, the center. And he did it so bad that the house of God, the temple, was actually shut down and locked up. And say, you know what? Nobody come in here. It's ruins. Nobody go in there. No more house of God. It ain't worth going in there. He shut the doors of the house of God. Now here comes his son to take over the king of Judah, the kingdom. And he is 25 years old. He's a young man. He's king number 13. And he ruled about 715 years. That's when he started ruling, before Christ. And he ruled for 29 years. He died at the age of 50-something. He died, you know, after 29 years of reign. You make the math at probably 54, 53 or so. He was married, and he had a son named Manasseh who came after him and took the kingdom. But one of the things, the remarkable thing is here, that his father did not do a very good job and allowed just simply whatever to happen until he had to shut the house down. And that is the situation in which Hezekiah takes over the kingdom. That is the legacy that his father left him. A total mess, chaos, defeat, destruction. And then, but when you look at his story is depicted in 1 Kings chapter 18 and in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, 29, 30. You see what he did? And the Bible says that in the first year, on the first month, he opened the doors of the house of God and he repaired it. Immediately, he took over the kingdom and said, no, we got to get back and we got to open the house all over again. He gathered all the Levites, he gathered the priests, and he said, no, we have to get together, make a plan, clean this house, and start doing what we used to do here, which is worship. This house belongs to God. And when they went in there, what they found is that it was full of idols that people had brought and that Ahaz had allowed to come into the temple. And they were worshiping a multitude of gods. But you see, the Bible tells me very clear that Hezekiah had made a covenant with God, and he decided, no, we are going to do this the way God is supposed to. I don't care how my daddy did it. My dad could have done many things wrong, but I'm going to do it right. And I want you to look at 2 Chronicles in chapter 31. Just two verses, verses 20 and 21. This is what it says about Hezekiah. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. And he did what was what? Good. He did what was right and true before the Lord his God. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God in the law. In law and in commandment. Doing what? Seeking his God. He did with all of his heart and prospered. Everything that he did was after God, for God, and with God, and seeking God. All of his heart was in it. All of his will was in it. And guess what? God prospered him. But I want to show you in 2 Kings 18, something similar. But this is the words of 2 Kings. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all of the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. Not one before, not one after, there was like him. For he clung to the Lord. You see that? He clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded to Moses. See, he knew the law. He knew exactly what was the instructions, and he followed. He clung with all of his heart. And I want to give you a few things about King Hezekiah that we can do in the house of God and in our own houses and in our own homes. Number one, you need to have an open house. You need to have an open house, okay? Dads, moms, parents, even young people, you need to open up your house to God. And I'm talking about your mind and your heart. Open your mind to God and he will show you what needs to be repaired in your house. You see, maybe there are some things that you acknowledge, you recognize that at home need to be kind of tweaked up. Maybe some things need to be remodeled. But there may be other things that you do not want to address because they're hidden in there and you don't even want to touch them. But God wants to reveal to your heart. He wants you to have an open heart and an open mind for you to see. You see, his dad was not the kind of leader that prospered. He actually went into ruin and ruined everybody else around him. And let me tell you, Father, if you are in spiritual problems, if you're in spiritual ruin, or if you're in spiritual decay, guess where your family is going to be heading if you are the true leader? They're going to go down with you, and you don't want that. See, Hezekiah followed a different path than his father. He opened up the house of God because God was his father. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to do this. I'm not going to allow these intruders to get in here. How many intruders come to your house? Maybe your windows are secure. Maybe your doors are locked. Maybe your back door and your porch are locked. But guess what? All of those channels that come in on the TV, on the internet, on YouTube, and everything else, and Netflix, and all of the other intruders that come up and engage your troops out there are making an impact, and we need to care for them. We cannot allow all of these intruders to get in the house. Not in the house of God, not in your own house, not in this house. So God found a man in Hezekiah that opened up his mind to what God could do. And he searched and he decided to simply go after God's heart himself. And God transformed the situation from ruin to prosperity. And all of the people around him enjoyed that. You see, God wants to use you, Father, wants to use you as a dad, as a catalyst to make changes, to bring about prosperity in your home. And I'm not talking about just making money. You see, if you're as lucky as me that I found 2 credit cards last week, that's prospering, right? Well, somebody found 2 credit cards down in the parking lot or outside somewhere out there, and they decided to give them to me. So if you want to claim these 2, if these are yours, just come and see me after the service, because I'm about to spend some money on Father's Day. I'll take it as a gift. When you find something, what do? Hey, you look for the owner. You do the best you can. But if you can find him, what do? Sorry. Thank you, Lord. All right. That was just a little lanyard right on the side. But God wants to use you as part of his plan to have a different legacy, to change the legacy maybe that you have had in your family. You can do better. Now, let me ask you something, parents. Don't you want your children to do better than you? You don't want them to do like you. You may feel good about what you've done as a parent. And you may feel like, you know what? I haven't done that bad. But yet you want your children to do even better, right? You want them to succeed more than you have. And that's exactly what God wants. So even you, sons and daughters, even if you are a parent, examine yourself and examine your parents and see where you're at. I mean, they're not perfect. They weren't perfect, and they're not, of course. But you can go even further, and you can make things even better and greater. I'm pretty sure your parents are not going to be ashamed if you do better than them. So think about that. Open your mind and allow God to transform and to help you understand, to see what needs to be remodeled. Also, be willing to lead all the way to the finish line. So many fathers give up so quickly. You see, when I see couples and they're in the brink of separation or something, or whenever they're having marital problems, and I hear this all the time. When some of the mothers say, you know what, he may have cheated on me, but he's a good father. Really? He may have hit me, or he may be abusive, but you know what? He's a good parent. Really? One of the greatest marks of a father is the way he loves his wife and his children. See that. I want you to think about that. Because you see, women, you cannot be condoning that type of stuff and just thinking, no, he's a great father. He's just a bad husband. A great father starts with being a good husband. Amen? Because your children will appreciate how you treat that queen of yours next to you. Anyway, that's another lanyard, by the way. I don't know. But you got to be willing to lead all the way. That means I will not abandon my post. I will not leave them nor forsake them. Isn't that what our Father does for us in heaven? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You got to do the same thing for your children. You see, in 2 Chronicles, there, in verse 31, in verse 21, in chapter 31, says, and all of the things I have it in Spanish here, and I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. Where is it? You'll see, I'm lost now. I'm in the wrong chapter. No wonder. Oh, my goodness, guys. His Father's Day. I'm nervous. Every work which he began, that's where it says, every work that he began in the house of the Lord, by what? By law and commandment, seeking God with all of his heart. That's what he did. That's what he did with all of his heart. You see, he willed himself. He said, no, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to dismay. And that's what you need to do. That's what God did for you anyway. As a father, he sent his son to not give up on you, but give himself up for you at the cross. Isn't that what he did for us? So that at the end, we can have a future and a destiny and a purpose that we can get to the final goal, which is that relationship of love with God as a father. So open up your mind and your heart like Hezekiah, and things can change no matter what's been done to you. Number 2, get your house in order. You know, that's one of your responsibilities as a father. Get your house in order. Mama, you get the house in order, but Dad, you get the house in order, okay? You get it? Whatever that means to you and however that works in your house. Mama gets the kitchen in order. Mama gets the laundry in order. Mama, because mostly daddy don't know how to do that. Or if they do, they don't want to do it. Right? It's one of those things. But you also have a place at home, daddy. And you need to get your house in order. And that doesn't mean smacking them every time you get a chance. It means showing them the way and leading the way as a father. And, you know, and one of the things that you have to understand is that it says that he followed the commandments, he followed the law, but he was involved. He was involved completely, directly involved. Remember the statistics that I gave you at the beginning? Of course you do. That was just a minute ago. If we want to see a house in order, if we want to have our house in order, then we need to also be involved ourselves. You need to have your own house in order. You know what I mean? Your mind and heart. If you don't have it together, your children are not going to have it together unless they go seek it out somewhere else. And you don't want that. You don't want that. You want to be the one. You want to be like Hezekiah. You want to be in your family and in your house. They can't be no other before or after you because you won't want that. So become like Hezekiah and seek God's heart. We got to bring in order our own house first, our own heart and our own minds. Now, let me ask you something. If you want to know, if you want to get a, okay, I'm just going to throw an example. If I want to know Jay as a father, who should I ask? Look at you go, ask me. Ask me. Come on up here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, right? He like, oh, ask me. Ask me about my daddy. I can tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth right now, right? Yeah. Most likely, but, you know, some children lie. And they exaggerate. And they see things about their parents that really don't fit. Easy, Jay. Easy. But you see that? But most likely you think if you want to get a description of somebody as a father, as a mother, you ask their children. That would be something, right? I don't know who would give the best description, but you know what I'm talking about. So start yourself, Dad. Start with yourself and be careful. All right, let's go to the next one. Number three, pray and watch God bless your house. Pray and watch God how he blesses your house. You see, you just pray and watch God go to work. Amen? Well, prayer is the hard work, right? You see, a lot of times we want to do things ourselves and fix them ourselves, and we work really hard trying to change things and do things around our own houses. Well, guess what? If you're not praying enough, then you're not doing the hardest work, which is prayer, but it's the most fruitful. I know prayer is hard. We all struggle with, oh my God, I got to pray about this. I got to pray about that. But if you pray, then you've done the hardest of the work and God will do the rest. Amen. Of course, he'll ask you to join him in the work and he'll tell you what to do. But it is important that we pray. Why? Because you have a father that listens. Isn't that great? How many of you, and don't raise your hand, felt like your father or your earthly father truly listened to you? How many of you may feel like, well, he wasn't there to listen to me? How could he? Or maybe, yeah, he didn't listen. He was there, but he didn't listen. But let me ask you something. As a child of God, if you call yourself one, when was the last time you talked to the Father? When was the last time you had a deep, intimate conversation with the Father? 3 weeks ago, a month ago, or a couple of hours ago? Think about that. It's very important. There are so many parents that want God to bless their children, and they send them to church. Great example. Right? No. You follow my lead, son. You follow my lead, my baby. And you follow me, and I'm coming. See, so many parents value that their children may connect with God in some way, shape, or fashion. And that is good. But first, you want them to see it in you. You want them to see it in you. And it doesn't matter how old or how experienced you are. It doesn't matter and what direction you're going. You see, you need to talk to the Father. You need to talk to the Father because you have a Father that listens. You have a Father that's constantly listening. You have a Father that heals. See, there are so many parents that just need this. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 6, remember what he said? He clung to the Lord. You know what clung is? Clinging, you know, grabbing onto and not letting go. When was the last time you hugged your dad like you didn't want to let go? For some of us, we don't have him around anymore. For some of us, we wish our father was around so that we can cling to him. But we don't. But some of us have him right next to us and have not clung to them at all. Hezekiah clung to the Father in heaven. Maybe his dad wasn't there for him. Maybe he was. I don't know. But God wants you to know that he is there for you. And he listens. And he heals. He heals. Actually, a little bit before that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, remember I told you the first month, he went ahead and opened up the house of God. He started working immediately on getting the house in order. But then a little bit later in chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, verses 18 and 20, it says, "For a multitude of people, even many from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than prescribed." "For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, 'May God, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary.'" You see that? There was a problem there. So the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. Not only he opened up the house and started bringing it in order, he even prayed for them when he knew that the children of God were doing the wrong thing. He said, "You know what? They're trying to seek you. They may not be doing in the right way. They may not be doing the way that is prescribed, but can you please forgive them? Have grace upon them." Isn't that what God has done for you and me? Grace, pure grace, because we have not done things the way he is prescribed. We've failed him so much. And we may have had experiences of failure with our own fathers and parents and with our children as we are parents. But one thing you know is that God's grace is extended. If you just pray and believe, God can heal. God healed the people. And the more you cling to your Father, the more trust you will have in him. The more you'll be able to trust him and the more you will enjoy the healing of those wounds that you may be carrying. Now, I want to make a side note here and think about something, because the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul talks about the Father, chapter 8 and verse 15. And he's not the only one that calls him that, but Jesus also called the Father, the Heavenly Father, Abba, 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 Father. And how important it is, and I want to get to the end of this message going through this little spiel with Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, and we can have it up there. Romans 8, 15. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry," what? We cry out, "Abba, Father." Now, this is the dearest and the most intimate name of God, believe it or not. I've told you before, this Abba, Father is like saying Daddy. Some of them call them pops. I don't know what you call your old man, but it's a term of endearment. It's an intimate. It's someone that you trust, someone that you are so dearly connected to, that you have the right that no one else has except your brother and sister to call him Daddy, Papi, Papa, Pops, Pop, whatever. But it's intimacy. And this is a term like, you know, like mama, Mama, Dada, Abba. You know, it's very simple and very easy. And I read a story of a pastor who went to visit Israel, and he said he went to many places where Jesus had walked and everywhere, and he did a tour, and all of these sites are so fascinating. But one of the things that fascinated him the most said that on one of the tours, they went to a park to have lunch, and while he was sitting at the park just eating lunch, that morning he had read in his devotional Romans 8:15, the same verse, Abba Father, you have not been given a spirit of slavery to lead you into fear, but a spirit of adoption from which we cry out, Abba Father. And he said that while he was sitting there having lunch, he saw the most beautiful picture he saw in the whole tour. Even though he'd been to Calvary, he'd been to Gethsemane, he'd been to the tomb, he'd been everywhere. But he said he was sitting there, and in this park there was a bunch of children playing. And as he was eating his lunch, he saw a bunch of kids, and all of a sudden he saw a car that parked, and out of the car came a man like in a business suit. And as he started walking towards the park, he saw a little three-year-old just running and saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. And it reminded him of what he had read that morning. And he said that was the most beautiful picture he saw the whole tour of Israel. I want you to think about that. Someone here may be in a predicament where they had not been very connected to their earthly father. And that's painful. That could be difficult. Some of us may need to rethink our idea of a father. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't feel free to run into the arms of your earthly father, it may even be difficult to run into the arms of a heavenly father. Because we build, believe it or not, in our minds, we build ideas about who God is based on what we have experienced in life with our earthly parents. You see, for some of you, thinking of God as a Savior, that's good. Thinking of God as a Redeemer, that's good. Thinking of God as so many things, powerful and all that. But relating to Him as a Father, I don't know if I could do that. Because my father wasn't there, or if he was, he wasn't really there or absent, or it tends to bring pain for some people to even think about fatherhood. Someone who has not been connected may find it difficult to connect with him as a father. Maybe that needs to change today. It may be tempting to see God as anything else but as a father. As a Lord, as a Savior, yeah, because you can relate to some of it. And some of us need to think about God as a father, or the father that we never had, or the father that was absent, or whatever. But you have a father that blesses and prospers you. That's one thing you need to know about him. He will bless you and he will prosper you. That's what he did. Hezekiah was blessed and he was prospered. And the whole kingdom was. There was not another king like him before, not another king like him after. And in your house, there shouldn't be anybody else but you. If you don't want another in the life of your children, then purpose in your heart to be the one and only. For them. Remember that your children don't need a superhero. They need a father. They need a father. So, and last week, I gave you a quote from A.W. Tozer. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Why is that? Because it determines how you relate to God. How you relate to God determines everything else in your life. Think about that. Your relationship with God is what determines everything in your life. If you have a good one or don't have one at all, or if you have a mediocre or if you're trying to have one, your relationship with God determines everything else about you and in your purpose and in your life and in your future and your destiny. Why? He made us. He made us for himself. So I want you to stop for a minute and think. Let's do this. I'm going to do an exercise. I want you to take that little sheet of paper, if you have it, and I want you to turn around on the blank side. On the blank side. I want you to turn it to the blank side, okay? Let's do a little exercise. I want you to think about God. God. I want you to think, truly think about God right now. And I want you to write what comes into your mind about God. What comes to your mind when you think God? What feelings come to mind? What feelings do you feel when you think about God? What images come to your head when you think about God? What does he look like to you? What does God look to you? If you could see him, what does he look like to you? How do you think he feels about you? Would you think about that? How do you think God feels about you? And be honest. I don't want you to just write cliche answers because you're a Christian. You got to write down Christianese language. Be honest. If it is true, it's true. And if it's not, then don't try to make it better. Make it the truth. What comes to your mind about God? What feelings, what images come into your head? What does he look like to you? How do you think he feels about you? Now, I don't want you to read them to me or anything, but we're going to continue this exercise doing one more small thing. Now, let's bring it back down here. Put your feet on earth. Think about your Father here on earth. Answer the same questions. What do you think he feels about you? How do you think he feels about you? What images come to your head when you think about your earthly father? What comes into your mind? What does he look like? Your father, whether he's here or not. Was he a provider? Was he a teacher? Was he generous? Was he funny? Was he absent? What was he? Was he too strict? Was he abusive, neglective, uninterested, controlling, judgmental? Some of you may be thinking of a dad that expected more than you, that you could handle. Maybe some of you may be thinking that you've lived all of your life trying to please him, even if he's not here. Perhaps your father loved you so much but never disciplined you. Or maybe your daddy was loving and amazing and still disciplined you. Regardless of your answer, I want you to think about this. Whether he was or was not there, there's an exceedingly greater Father who is our God, our Heavenly Father, Abba, who is waiting for you to just cry it out and run into his arms. Because he listens, he heals, he blesses, and he prospers. And even if you are a father, don't forget that there is a father in heaven that loves you. Whatever image you had, whatever distorted image you may have had about God as a father, it comes from Satan. Remember that the best strategy that Satan can use is to distract you from the truth of God, to make you believe something about God that he is not. It's funny how the Bible describes Satan. Not only he's been a liar since the beginning, the Bible says he is the father of lies. John 8:44. Deception. And you don't want to be deceived. You want to be like Hezekiah, who lived it because he believed it, because he knew that his father up in heaven, with him, he could do much better than his own earthly father.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.